My man. today, Oscar. Do you need victory in your soul today? He's wanting us just to praise him. All we gotta do is take that step. He can set you free today. Trust in him. Take that step of faith. God can set you free today. Trust in him today. Oh, God.
Yeah. Oh. Praise the my mouth is filled with praise. Jesus breaks the band as I raise my hand, giving glorious victory. He gives strength.
Wasn't that a very good spirit of God that moved in? I appreciate being here. Matter of fact, I'm glad I'm here. I'm excited I'm here. I really am. I've been thinking about those scriptures, whatsoever is true. And it makes me look at myself, ever since I was a kid, I always had a complex. Everybody's got a complex. It doesn't matter what kind of complex it is. You could be the most beautiful thing walking down the streets and still have a complex. You could be rich as Solomon and still have a complex. But I had a complex when I was a kid that my mother and dad, we were poor. It's Job's turkey. I've always heard that expression, and we never had a TV because my mother and dad tried to live a Christian life. And we were persecuted at school because of that. And I was ignored and called all kind of things. And my mother and dad always try to teach us to be, not to be jumping in and getting into a fight. And I always tried to keep from, it wasn't that I was scared of the other person, it just that, and I wasn't going to say I didn't want to hurt the guy, they may have beat the tar out of me, but I always had down in my heart, my mother and dad always instilled within me to not, try to cause any trouble. And I was ridiculed because of that. But later on in life, God brought me here He's brought me here. And you know, and it's not because of, well, it's me, but I've looked at some of the people that I went to school with and that did these things, and they had complexes too, and I just didn't realize it. But you know, a lot of them, they still have never acknowledged there's a God. They've never touched and never had the ability to sit in a service like we have today and feel the Spirit of God when it comes down and touches your heart. That's what is important. When the Spirit of the Holy Ghost touches your heart and pricks your heart so deep that, God, I've got to yield to this. There is no way around it. My pride is not so big that your Spirit can touch me, and I've got to yield to this. And there's been times when that's happened to me. Hasn't you? That the Spirit of God has been on you so much that whatever your life's troubles are, they go away. They seem like they just vanish. And that's the Spirit of God when it's touching your heart. And that is so important to yield to that. Because that is what gives us strength in life. I remember when I had my heart attack the first time, I was laying in the emergency room, and my brother was sitting there, and I seen they had a heart monitor on me, and the thing was, you know, showing your heart rate going, and the thing flatlined, and I was sitting there looking at that, and I told my brother, I said, my heart stopped, or I said something, I said, you know, this is it, and I went out. Now, I never seen no lights at the end of the tunnel and all this stuff like that. I went into non-existence. I ceased to exist. But by the grace of God, He brought me back. And you know, when I came to, and they were all around me, I could. And they said that they had to put the things on my chest to shock me. Now, I never felt no jolt or nothing because I did. Because I don't know whatever happened. But when I came to, I said, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Because I knew something had happened to me. Something that had happened to me. And God had the mercies. I know going to heaven means that you've got to die. But I wasn't ready. I was cantankerous. I was mean. I would lie to you. I'd do anything that any other sinner in this world would do. But God brought me back. And I thank God for that. Because I knew I wasn't ready to go. I wasn't ready, but I want to try to live my life more and more as God would see fit. But I was thinking the other day about when Christ died on the cross. You know, sometimes, you know how you get so burdened down with a problem or something that your just nervous system just can't bear it. And you just you either just start just bawling and squalling, and your burden just gets so heavy that you just can't seem to hold up under that pressure. You know, Christ bore the whole sins of the whole world. Think about that. That He bore the sins of the whole world on His shoulders. And I can't even stand up the sometimes to my own troubles that I have of my own. I break under those. I think, God, you are so strong. You are so righteous. And I thank God there's someone there that can do that. Because I'm not able to do that. I'm not able to save myself. But by the grace of God and through the Holy Ghost, He can save me. He can make me righteous. Like that scripture said, whatsoever things that are true. True. I'm trying to be truthful to myself now, because I know yesterday they were talking, only in here do you hear people say the things that they go through. Not like, I'm ready to die and I'm ready to go to heaven today. I'm not. I'm not ready to go today. I want God to touch my life. I want more and more of Jesus in my life. Only that name that you hear. I was thinking about Paul and Silas. Was it that was walking down the street and they reached down to a man and he asked them for alms. And they said, we don't have anything to give you, but such as I have, I give unto thee. And they reached down to that man and lifted him up on his feet. He had never walked before in his life. And they reached down and touched that man, and the Spirit of God went into that man, and he jumped to his feet, leaping with joy. I'd like to see that sometimes. I know that's a physical thing, but I know more important in our lives is getting the Holy Ghost in our hearts, but I need a touch from God. I need my mind touched, because without that, I'm touched up here already. You know, so if He can touch my mind and give me something that will make it stick, that will give me the glue that it takes to put in my mind, I'm all for it. Give me that knowledge. Give me that understanding. And give me that might and that all that we need to get to heaven. I want to go to heaven, don't you? That's why I'm here today. And I'm glad I'm here. I'm sorry I was rambling around. But if you feel the Spirit of God touching in your heart, don't draw away from that. Let God touch your life. Let God touch your life. You will be changed forevermore. And God will bring you up out of that condemnation that you have in your heart and those things that you have been born with and complexes. He'll help those things they'll take that away from you. I don't have a complex anymore. I guess it's because I don't care what people think about me much anymore. In other words, they can say whatever they want to about me now. It don't bother me. You know, it used to really bother me. But now it does bother me if they say, that lying, sorry devil. And if it's true, I want to change. I want God to change me. Put something in me, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what I want. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? Oh, God, I want God not only just to touch my mind and my heart, but touch my spirit. Put a spirit within me that I will be righteous, that I can overcome. And when I walk down the road, people can say, there's a righteous man, and he's trying to do right. And I believe God will bless us for that. But pray for me. I love you. Matter of fact, you know, I can already see you folks. Already things that you have overcome. You know, you might think, I haven't went very far in this life, but righteously. But since I've got here, I can see you people has already things that you have overcome. Just ask me and I'll tell you. I love you. I love being here.
Thanks, Sister Cindy, for that wonderful chorus, beautiful words. You know, I get to thinking about words and songs, and I listen to the words, and sometimes it helps me to open up to the Lord and to praise Him and to lose myself. You know, get to thinking about His wonderful mercies and His glorious way of life. I was thinking, before going to the campground, how that I was thinking, talking to the Lord, asking Him, Lord, what is my part? What is my part to play in my salvation? And I was serious with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm serious. I had asked Him if I could talk to Him. And I guess I didn't wait for an answer. I just started talking. And I said, Lord, I'm serious. I want to know what my part is in this, because I'd gotten to the place to where all I could see was I couldn't do anything. I can't do anything without Him. That was where I was. I can't. Everything depends on Him. My everything, just everything I could think of, I can't do it without the Lord. I can't do this without the Lord. I can't do it without You. And I thought, Lord, just what is my part in this? What is it? What is my part in this? And I kept asking, day in and day out, I would ask, Lord, what is my part to play? What is it? And so I started thinking about it, and it came to me as I was asking, well, I can't do this without You, Lord. I can't do this without You. I can't do that without You. And then the thought came to me, You are, just be willing. Whatever comes up, just be willing to yield to the Lord. Be willing. Every time I'd tell the Lord, well, that's your part. You have to, but if you're willing. And so when we got to the meeting, the meeting was wonderful. And when Brother Wright got up, started talking about humility, you know, and I believe the Lord was ministering to me in His talk. And He made this statement, your willingness have to be perfected. I thought, okay, my willingness has to be perfected. Okay, so that encompassed a lot in my mind. It did, because just to be willing to do something once is okay. But will you be willing every time? That willingness has to be perfected. It has to go through a process. And I thought, okay, that's a lifetime process, a lifetime of yielding yourself to whatever comes your way. There's a yielding, a willingness you have to have, in that you have to be willing to say, Lord, not my will, but Thy will be done. And I know that His will is perfect. And I want to get to the place that I accept His will for my life in everything, in all things. And I know that that's a lifelong journey. But I'm willing, Lord, if You will help me to make this commitment in my life, day by day, moment by moment, because I see my need for You, Lord. I see my need. Oh, God, I know that I need You, Lord. I can't go without You. So I'm thankful that He led me this way. You know, he does things for us, and you can't explain it. You can't explain God. You think you got him all wrapped up. You think you know what he'll do, but he comes at me in a different direction every time. I can't pinpoint him. I think I know, you know, what he might have me do in certain situations, and sometimes it's not that at all. It's that still, small voice that sometimes I miss. Sometimes just slip right through my mind. But I still want to be on this road traveling to the Lord, because this is the best life I've ever known. This is life to me. This is my very life. You know, when I first came this way, I didn't realize where I was. I didn't understand where I was. But little by little, the Lord started opening up my eyes, started opening up my heart to different things that I would normally let go, you know, wouldn't even pay any attention to. But the Lord might tell me that I'm in that, this way, this is the way. And he's been leading me. And I'm so thankful, I'm so thankful, I'm so thankful. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your greatness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. You know, sometimes we might ask the question, why? Why this or why that? But God knows why. He knows what we need. And he's going to give us everything that we need. When I came this way, I said, Lord, I want to go. I want to make it. And I believe he told me, I'll help you. I'll help you. May not be the way you want it to be, but it'll be his will. Hallelujah. And so, Lord, I say I want to run this race with patience. I want to run this race gracefully. By your help and your grace and your mercy, Lord, I shall. My soul won't rest until I see him face to face, my creator, my maker. Till he says, well done, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Oh God, there's a longing in my soul. There's a longing to be with him, a longing to be like him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh God, you know my job. I know that I'm being watched. I know that. And I want to live a life that, you know, a lot of people don't read their Bibles, but they read your life. And I realize that. And you know, they might talk about how funny you look or whatever, but you know, when they get under a load, when they get under pressure, they come to you. Will you pray? Will you pray? They know who could get a prayer through. I'm not boasting or anything, because it's God, and I know that because he's told me, and I believe it. But, you know, people, they know who to come to get a prayer answered for them. And I'll pray. I said, all right, I'll pray. I'll ask the Lord. God is able. And sometimes I give them a lecture. You want me to pray, then you listen. Listen to what I have to say. But I don't do it to everybody, only that I feel like, you know, that the Lord is nudging me to give them a word or something, because some people are not interested, and I realize that. But I believe that the Lord is going to have a people. And when I came this way, that's what they told me. The Lord is going to have a people to take out of his name, take out for his name's sake. He's going to have a bride. And I thought, oh, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that bride. And then they started telling me, well, this is what you have to do. And at first, when I first came this way, you know, I thought, well, my goodness, that sure is strict. That sure is. I think I just settled for the new earth. Then I started hearing what the qualifications of the new earth, and I thought, well, I may as well shoot for the gusto, you know. And I thought, Lord, well, I want your best, Lord. I want your best. And whatever it takes, Lord, I believe that you're going to help me to come up with it. Because I can't. I can't in myself, Lord. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord. And you know, my eyes are open a little bit more now than they were then. And I see more now that I need him more and more. It's like I've just begun to live. But I know that, as Brother Sutton Miller was saying yesterday, you ought to be a little further up the road than you were when you first started. It's been over 31 years. Well, it'll be 31 years this year, September, that the Lord brought me this way. And I think I can hold up under a little bit of pressure than I could when I first started. But you know, the Lord is showing me day by day that if I stick with him, that if I hold on to him, he's going to hold on to me. My hand is in his, and he won't let go. It'll be me if anything should happen. It'll be me. But I know that I can trust him. I can trust him with all that I have. I can trust him. He has proven that to me, and I believe him today. And I desire to go on with him. Hallelujah. I desire to see him face to face, my creator, my maker, hallelujah. And I'm thankful that he's given me this chance, this opportunity, and I want to take advantage of it. Thank you.
Appreciate the Lord today, and I just love this gospel that's real. I have a hard time with we've got that feedback again here. I don't know what's causing that. It's every time. Y'all hear it? I don't have it on me. It's on, but it's back over there on the desk. Still got it. Still there. See if it's on. No, it wasn't on. We'll just have to keep working on it, I guess, to figure it out what's causing that. I'll never hear it till I get up here. They don't have this on. So, but yeah. I thought of a scripture I wanted to read while with Sister Watson's testimony. I've mentioned it of late to you, but I put it in my for my own self, and I want to put it off on you. Or Paul, and then in 1 Corinthians 9, and I can feel Paul's feeling here about his calling. 13th verse, 9th chapter. He said, "Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar." What he's referring to here is the priesthood under the old covenant, that they offered up offerings, and of course the priesthood got certain, they were partakers of those offerings. They that was their meat for life. They got certain portions of the offering, the meat offerings, and would and that was theirs. That was part of their reward or their livelihood that God provided in their service. He said, "Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me, for it were better for me to die than any man."